Today on Real Radio.
Stephen is God's man to witness to these guys. He can relate to them. Every one of us, we're so much alike in some ways, and yet there are so many ways that we're different, and I can't minister to some of the people that you can share with. You can go to places and touch people that none of us could ever get to. You're just like Stephen, if you're a believer this morning.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Witnessing Church. It's a look at passages in the book of Acts, chapters 6 and 7. The latter chapter contains the account of Stephen and his recounting the history of Israel. Of course, when we think of Stephen, we think of his being martyred for proclaiming the truth about Messiah Jesus. But that part is found in just the last paragraph of this chapter. It's the first 53 verses that tell us why he was put to death. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Before I came to Christ, I had to be around like a bunch of people. I had to have the stereo on full blast because I was so afraid of being alone. I didn't want to be lonely. So you go to the phone. Hey, what's going on tonight? Okay, great. We'll be there. What's going on tomorrow night? And it's like you're calling your broker. Hey, what's happening? Well, we got a party here, got a party there, party here, party there. Great. You booked your week. So you're not alone. And I remember waking up on June 23rd, 1977. It was a Tuesday morning. I was born again. And I woke up and I started talking to myself. Wow, I'm saved. I don't feel alone anymore. I'm not lonely. And I haven't been bored since that day. In fact, now it's precious to try to find some time to get alone. Isn't that funny? Before you were a believer, you couldn't dare be alone. You might see yourself. And now that you're a Christian, it's like you have to steal places and time to be alone with him. You're never alone. And the world is out there needing Jesus Christ, and Stephen wants to give it to them, and he's going to deliver the message, but they're not willing. They're not serious about this grace and this truth that's come through Jesus Christ. Verse 1, it says, "Then the high priest said, are these things so?" And that's all the accusations of last week's message. This man, Stephen, we have found him to be speaking against the law and speaking against the temple, this place, the law and the temple. That's a lie. Stephen was saying, you know what? The answer's not in the temple. The answer's not in the law. That's all he was saying. Jesus said earlier that he was going to, that the temple would be destroyed because of them not receiving him. And sure enough, it shall be in this time frame of the book of Acts. But they read that as Stephen attacking the icons of their religion, the temple and the law that Jesus came to fulfill. And Jesus says, man, you guys are all twisted. You put so much stock into traditions. And man, I don't know your exposure to tradition. I had never had any exposure to tradition until I went to Russia. And it is the church, and it is the priest, it's the icons, and that's it. And that's exactly how the religious Jews were at Jesus' time. It was the temple. He spoke against the temple. Kill him. Can you imagine that? And Stephen's saying, it's not that. Relationship with God is not that. It's not going to go over well. Are these things so? Stephen, are you really saying these things? And look at his response. It's brilliant. That begins now in verse 2. And Stephen said to them, men and brethren and fathers, extremely respectful what he says. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Now, these guys are extremely prideful about heritage, even to this very day. The Israeli, the Jews, very, very proud about their heritage. And you can see their robes stick up. Yes, yes, Father Abraham. Yes, keep going. It's our father. Remember how they argued with Jesus? Jesus said, if you were Abraham's seed, you'd believe in me. And they said, we are Abraham's seed. And he said, if you were, then you'd believe the works that I do. He says, you're not Abraham's seed. Your father's the devil. And that didn't go over all that well. But I have a funny feeling that when he said it, there was still that drawing, that longing, loving compassion that flowed out of his face when he said that, trying to get them to come around. Father Abraham, oh yes, they think instantly, oh, what a long line of glory we come from. Father Abraham, yes. And Stephen, in his smarts, under the Holy Spirit, goes to the touch point where they need to be brought to. Ah, I can relate, they said. If you're struggling with drugs and you want to get rid of that, who can best relate to you? Someone who's never experienced deliverance from drugs, or somebody who has? If you're struggling with lust, who can better minister to you than someone who's experienced victory over that? Stephen is God's man to witness to these guys. He can relate to them. Every one of us, we're so much alike in some ways, and yet there are so many ways that we're different, and I can't minister to some of the people that you can share with. You're just like Stephen, if you're a believer this morning. You can go to places and touch people that none of us could ever get to. There's guys in here, landscapers. There's women who are attorneys in here. There's physicians in here right now as I look around. There's contractors. There's housewives, school teachers. There's a realm of influence that God has put you in for an eternal purpose. It's not just to have a Corvette or an airplane or to not have a job at all and to be raising your children. It's not only that. It's to lead those kids to Christ. It's to be an example to the associates. It is not a mistake that you are a born again, whatever you are, professional, or whatever it is. God has engineered you first to be saved. It says in the scripture that before the world was ever laid, before the foundation was ever laid out, that God knew you, that He foreordained you, that you might become an heir. He knew before time ever began that you were going to choose Him. And it just so happens that you live in Chino Hills or Diamond Bar or wherever you're at. And it just so happens that you're a fireman. You're a Christian first. And Stephen is using this brilliantly. And they say, is this so? And he's full of the Holy Spirit. There's only one thing a person can do who's full of the Holy Spirit, and that is give a message. He opens up his mouth and away he goes. But his touch point is Abraham. Very important. From Abraham would come the father, or he is the father of the Jewish nation. He's certainly our father of the faith. And check this out. Jewish nation. Jew. The word means, Jew means praise. It comes from Genesis when Leah gave Jacob yet another son. And she says, now I will praise the Lord. And I shall call his name Judah. Judah means praise. The father of the Jewish people, Abraham. He's the father of the praisers. We are to be praisers. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says that, "For he is not a Jew or praiser who is one outwardly, that is, by the circumcision of the flesh." That doesn't count, God says. "But he is a Jew or a praiser who is one inwardly, whose circumcision has been of the heart." Isn't that great? You're a praiser. That's why Jewish music sounds so at home for us, I think. What is it, man? You get born again and you want to be Jewish. I remember when I first got saved, this is a true story. I remember when I first got saved and at Calvary Costa Mesa, there's such a strong presence of just favor towards the Jews and all, and it's just precious how they bless that nation so much. And I was really, really bummed that I wasn't Jewish, and I went out and I bought a Star of David, and I wore it around my neck for years. And it was built right here on Romans 2:28. Oh, are you Jewish? Inwardly. Why? Because I'm a praiser. You're a praiser. You want to worship. Stephen takes them back to the Father of praise, the Father of worship. You see, they got away from that. They got religious. And they missed it. And Mesopotamia is the area of Iraq today. Specifically, he came out of the area between the Euphrates and the Tigris River. And it says in verse 3, God says to him, "Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to the land that I will show you." And I like that. We could spend a lot of time on various different areas of that verse, but I'll tell you what. For God to have told Abraham to get out of his country, it presupposes that God went to that country. And I like that. God is not in some ivory palace where he can't associate with us. God goes down into the highways, into the byways, to the people. He reaches them where they're at. He didn't say, "Abraham, Abraham, come over here so I can talk to you." God went down to where he was. God was being a witness. And he said, "Hey, I want you out of this land." Why? Abraham was a Gentile. Go figure that one out. He was a Gentile, he was uncircumcised, and he worshipped foreign gods, the Bible says. Not a good guy. God chose him and said, "Now I want you to get out of this land." He doesn't take him out of the world, he just gets him out of the land, and he's going to school him in the school of faith. God goes to where we were. God goes to where they are outside these four walls today. Remember that. "Well, they're not Christians. We're not going to talk to them." Excuse me, but that's the reason why you should invite them over, because they're not Christians. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's a real bore to be around a bunch of Christians. Give me a couple of non-believers for a minute. It causes me to stand up straight and be a little bit ready. Don't you want to show them that you're different? Not so they'll come to Calvary Chapel, but so they'll go to heaven. May God help us to present the truth. It's not church membership. It's love. It's forgiveness. It's grace. God's speaking to Abraham, and he's working in this man who is a Gentile, uncircumcised, in a very pagan land. By the way, that's the area, Mesopotamia is the area that invented dating. Sample relationships before you get committed to somebody. Mesopotamia, Abraham was probably practicing that. God didn't call him because he was right on. God called him because he was in need of a savior. "Go into this country," he says to him. I love the way God does that. He tells Jonah, "Go talk to the people at Nineveh." All right, what do you want me to tell them? 40 days, judgment comes. All right. Jonah hated those guys. He hated the Ninevites, couldn't stand them. He had some rebellious problems, Jonah did. Sassy guy, independent, rebellious prophet of God. Runs away from God's command like he can run away. Gets in a boat, gets in a ship, so spiritually dead that he's sleeping in the bottom of a boat while a bunch of non-believers are on top praying. How does that make you feel? Slept right through a prayer meeting. They go down there and they say, hey, wake up, old sleeper. Don't you care if we perish? Well, basically, no, I'm out to commit suicide, is what his response really was. That's when they said, hey, we got a problem here. He said, just throw me over the boat. Throw me over the side. I'd die. I'd rather die than obey God. That's his attitude. Then God prepares the fish. It wasn't a whale. The word is fish. Big one. 1800s, a guy did that. Got swallowed by a fish. He was in there for 4 days. They got him out. He was alive. And the circuses put him through the U.S. on a tour because he was all lime green. All the acid ate his hair all off his body and stripped his pigment. And he was green. And he was the modern day Jonah. It's in the Guinness World Book of Records from what I understand. I didn't read it there. Jonah must have looked like that fish swallows him. He was the first submarine captain, Jonah was. That fish comes up and just burps him out on the shore, and he walks to Nineveh. He's got seaweed wrapped around his neck. He stinks. And the stomach of that fish, that mammal, where the mammal gets up there. 40 days, this place fries. Walks down the street. Estimated 2 to 3 million people in Nineveh at that time. 40 days, you burn. He hates the Ninevites. Goes into the stadium. 40 days, you're toast. Goes up on top of the hill. T-minus 2 days. T-minus 1 day. 10, 9, 8. God says, hold, hold. Look at those guys down there in Nineveh. Jonah, they're repenting. The king's called to fast. Even the cows have to fast. Everybody's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. No animals get to eat. No people eat. Nothing. Because that heathen, pagan king said, maybe God from heaven will hear and forgive us. And Jonah says, that's it. I'm not working for you anymore. You go around forgiving people. And he's all bent out of shape because God is gracious. And he gets in an argument with God because God wants to spare these guys. Why? Because Jonah was not willing to go where the lost were at. But God was. And we have to remember that. You may not be called to go door to door to Chino Town Center or the Spectrum or Russia, Cuba, Venezuela. What you may not be called, but you ought to help those who have been called. I think that's a wise investment. There's people out there hurting. Pascal said, there is within the heart of every man a God-shaped void that only Christ can fill. And that's true. I don't care what people drive, what people look like, how much more power they have or money they have over you. They have a Christ-shaped void in their life. And you've got the answer. 75% of the people, according to Gallup, come to church because people invite them. That says a lot about our ability to witness. Verse 4, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, God moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And they went, yep, yep, this is where we dwell. Yep, yep, this place. Father Abraham, this land. Yep, that's us. Very, very proud of that. Stephen's doing some excellent setup here. And God gave him, verse 5, no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way that his descendants would sojourn in a foreign land and that they would bring them into bondage and oppression for some 400 years. And right then the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, lawyers, they went, yes, we understand that. And they look back at that part of their life with a little bit of chagrin. They don't talk about it much. And it was the uncomfortable part of the message for them when Stephen was delivering this. And he's going to get a lot more intense in the end. But he's telling them, listen, you guys, you think it's so important to trust in that temple? You think it's such a big deal to wear robes? You think it's such a big deal to be religious? Abraham was a man that God said is his friend, and yet God didn't give him a stitch of land. He didn't have a temple. He didn't have a robe, Stephen is saying. But he knew God. And it's starting to get a little uncomfortable where these 71 guys are seated. He's starting to knock things into perspective. Oh my gosh. That's a good point, Stephen. He's challenging them. God is just as much in the presence of the little Aborigine as he is here. David said in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, where can I go from your spirit? My question is, why would you want to? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Ask Jonah. Even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light around you. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you, God. You think you can go to the end of the pier and put some concrete around your feet and jump off and think that's over? God's there. You think you can put a revolver to your head? God's there. You think you can get involved in other relationships extramaritally? God is there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Witnessing Church, a look at the first 8 verses of the book of Acts chapter 7. It's the account of the martyr Stephen and the result of his bold proclamation of the truth. We'll continue with more of this mini-series called The Witnessing Church on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if ever there was any kind of group of people that we could witness to, people who could be considered a mission field, it's the Muslims. It is the uninformed that believe we all worship the same God under different names. But of course, you don't have to peel back too many layers of the proverbial onion to learn otherwise. And so this coming up January, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, will be having the Southern California Prophecy Conference. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Hi, this is Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to bring to your attention the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference, and you can find out more about that conference at SoCalProphecyConference.com. I know that's long, but it's SoCalProphecyConference.com. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers, and you're going to want to hear from these people. From London, England, Jay Smith will be with us. We'll have Bridget Gabriel and many others. Don't miss this conference. It's $25 for the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. You can get more information at SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you, and I hope to see you here.
Okay, once again, that's SoCalProphecyConference.com. There you'll see a brief video presentation of Pastor Jack, which includes a little bit about each participating speaker. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll also find out about registration, local accommodations, just about everything you need. SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.